Hello and welcome to this week's episode of On the Box, the Geek Show's very own TV showy podcasty thing.
Yes, it's a very showy podcasty thing.
It is all of those things.
Yes.
And somehow less.
We have to avoid saying TV show because that's false advertising.
Well, no, we're a show about TV.
Exactly. Not a TV advertising show. Standards can't do anything to us.
Yes. So, yeah. Who are you, anyway?
I'm Andy. I think. Am I?
Yeah, I'm outnumbered this week because I've got Andy.
He's Andy, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Rob.
And collectively, we are going to try and muddle through this thing. But before we start, it's time for the blurb. So, if you like the madness you're about to hear, you can find us all over the internet. We've got our very own website, geekshow.co.uk. We're on Mixcloud, we're on Stitcher, we've got our own Facebook and Twitters, we have our own YouTube channel, and we are even on iTunes now. So if you want to get in contact with us, like I said, we've got the Facebook, we've got the Twitter, you can email us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or just, I don't know, think really hard and we'll get the message. And of course, we are a voluntary organisation, so if you want to help us out, you can find links to our GoFundMe page and PayPal accounts on the website, or you can visit the Geek Shop where we have lots of lovely items that you can buy.
Awesome. Shall we get into this?
Yes.
It's been an interesting time for us. We have been off the air for a couple of weeks just because we've been making a bit of a transition, but we're back. We're back.
And we've Hooray.
Been watching watching lots and lots of lovely TV. But first, as always, is the news, and starting us off is TNT have ordered a pilot episode for a potential TV series based on Let the Right One In. You know, that vampire book that got turned into a pretty good movie and then got remade.
Turned into a less good movie.
Yeah, then got turned into a less good movie and now is going to be turned into a TV series. But I'm hoping the TV series is based on the good movie or the book and not the less good movie. But then again, It's being developed by Jeff Davis, who did Teen Wolf and Criminal Minds.
Oh, dear.
So I'm not very hopeful about this.
No, because those were not high-quality shows.
No, they weren't.
But is there any show that's been based on a film which has been classified as good?
The Real Ghostbusters.
Hannibal.
Okay, yeah, Hannibal.
I've gone on and on and on and on.
That's
and on
because of your infatuation with Mads Mikkelsen.
He's a scary man, but in a good way.
Did you ever get to see that advert of him, you know, diving over furniture and stuff?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You didn't look for it, did you? You must find it. It's hilarious.
What was it for again?
I can't remember. I think it was for IKEA or something like that, but it was basically him diving over all sorts of furniture. You'll probably find it on YouTube if you look for a Mads Mikkelsen advert.
Probably. And the great thing is, now because of our new setup, I can search for that and keep it in my YouTube bar for after we finish the show.
Yes, you can.
Yay, technology.
Yes, hooray for technology. I'm kind of tired of these movie adaptations to TV shows, though. Like everything, you get one good thing, like Hannibal. But then we're just surrounded by dross.
Plus, I think it definitely doesn't work anywhere near as well when it's like a single film being adapted.
Well, can you imagine something like Die Hard being turned into a TV series?
The original film, you mean?
Yeah.
That drag on and on and on.
Yeah, but it's like, remember, I think it'll be a couple of years ago now, they made a TV series of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And my God, that dragged on.
Yeah, and it didn't have any.
It was just exactly the same plot as the film, only stretched out into like 12 hours.
Yeah.
How stretched out do you think this Let the Right One In is going to be?
Very.
Because
I reckon there's going to be an entire episode of just her dog going, "Can you let me in?" Going, "No, I'm not going to let you in. Please, no, I'm not going to let you in. Pretty please, I'm not going to let you in." But then, in a crazy twist ending, he does let her in.
Yeah. The thing is, there's loads of them when you get right down to it. I mean, 12 Monkeys has a TV series now.
Oh, yeah, it does have a series.
You know, 10 Things I Hate About You has a TV series.
What?
Yeah.
no.
10 Things I Hate About You has a TV series. You remember Bigfoot and the Hendersons had the TV series Harry and the Hendersons? So it's not a recent thing. Do you know another good one, though? Another good one that was adapted from a film? MASH?
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Because the TV series for MASH was just as good as the film, I thought.
But I thought that was more like a continuation, sort of, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Plus you have, like, an entire war that you can set it over.
Yeah, this is true. And it gave rise to some, I think it was one of those comedy series that really set the tone for American comedy for quite a while.
Well, it's like one of my favourite jokes in Futurama.
Oh.
Where they encounter Hawkeye Bart. He's just got a switch on his back that goes from like light-hearted pranks to existential despair.
Yes.
And he just occasionally flips it.
Yeah.
The thing about these TV series, though, some have worked really well, but it's usually the comedies.
But the ones that don't work so well are things like The Crow, Stairway to Heaven, or Dominion, which came from the pretty awful movie Legion. Not that Legion from the comics, the Legion as in the angels.
Paul Bettany is an angel man.
Yeah. I've just found out, though, right? I didn't realise this. Do you remember The Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes. It was a pretty popular show, I think.
Yeah, it was actually based on a movie called Moonrunners.
Oh.
I've just found this out as well. And then there was a TV series for Ferris Bueller.
Was there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I remember occasionally hearing that that existed.
And like, no.
Without Matthew Broderick.
And without any of the charm of the movie.
Well, yeah, because it was without Matthew Broderick.
Yep.
And, like, he's the only man who can play Ferris Bueller in a way that doesn't make you want to just slap him in the face.
Yes.
Do you know which TV series I think was really good, considering it did have a cast change?
What?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Really?
I thought that was different.
Okay.
I thought they had some sort of stretch with that.
Do you know, we've missed out the obvious one, the obvious adapted from a movie one.
Limitless.
Or continuation of a movie one. Stargate.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the obvious one, but yeah, it was pretty big in its time.
Yeah. I mean, there's others like School of Rock, Scream. Rush Hour even has a TV series now.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know...
Scream was different, though.
No. Rush Hour's awful. They've got Bargain Basement Chris Rock and Pound Shop Jackie Chan.
You don't want Pound Shop Jackie Chan.
Oh, I like that.
But yeah, you got so many. There's Tales from the Neverending.
I have found the actual big one.
Oh,
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh yeah, because that was that was hugely different to the actual movie as well.
Yeah, because that is kind of the other side of it.
Yeah,
of a quite a terrible movie turning into a crazy successful TV series.
Yeah, one of the ones that's just literally jumped out at me, mainly because Gene Wilder passed away recently. There was a TV series based on Stir Crazy.
I don't think I know Stir Crazy.
Stir Crazy is the Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movie from, I think, the late 1970s or the early 1980s.
Ah.
And it starred those amazing actors, Joe Guzzaldo and Larry Riley and Mark Silver and Jeannie Wilson.
You're saying a bunch of names.
Yeah. Stir Crazy is an amazingly good comedy. Then there's Tales from the Neverending Story. The Neverending Story got a TV series. It also had...
It's never-ending.
Yeah, it also had horrible, horrible sequels, which we never admit they exist.
No, we don't.
Tales from the Neverending Story. Seriously, why are you destroying my childhood?
I think the point we're finding here is that TV series based off of films can work really well.
If the film was really bad.
Think about the film you're picking to base it off of.
Yeah, pick a really bad film and make a really good TV show on it.
I don't think it's just pick something that has a lot of potential for a spin-off.
Well, you mean like DC
Scream
do?
Scream took off.
Isn't that exactly DC's marketing plan? Let's make some really awful films and then make TV shows that are much, much better.
No, that should be their plan, but their TV shows have nothing to do with their films for probably good reason.
Yeah. I mean, Superman turned up in Supergirl, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was Superman, not the Mope with Steel.
Yes. Yes. The one who's going to come back in the Justice League movie because reasons.
No, he's not, Rob. He's dead. He's dead forever.
No, we wish he was dead forever.
Well, he does have a Superman film coming up after that, so it kind of gives it away.
Yes, he does.
And he's, like, on the poster.
Yeah. The thing is, the Justice League movie, the trailer that they put together for it actually makes it look good. You know, I like the way that they put the Flash character together. My mom says yeah. I need friends.
And that's also true of the Flash.
This is true. He does need friends. But yeah, I'm kind of tired of this whole idea that there has to be a TV show or it has to be adapted into a TV show afterwards.
Yeah, I think that is the big problem. It's basically Marvel's fault. Marvel have been too successful. And now every time everyone makes a film, it's like, okay, we've got to make a film that has the potential for at least like 17 other films and 3 spin-off TV series.
Don't forget, though, it's also Netflix's fault. They're the ones starting all this on-demand.
No, Netflix in association with Marvel. But yeah, Netflix do have their share of the blame.
Curse you, makers of quality entertainment.
Thing is, where is it going to stop? That's my main worry, because they've clearly looked at all the movies. I mean, Teen Wolf isn't a new movie, but there's a TV series for Teen Wolf. So how far back are they willing to go? Are they going to go all the way back to, say, the Marx Brothers and, you know, A Day at the Races or A Night at the Opera and do a TV series based on that?
The thing is, they should go back, like, that far for TV shows now. Because redoing shows recent, like, movies to shows that have been recently type of thing, it doesn't make sense.
I know the TV show that they will never make. They'll never make a TV show based on this movie because the movie was disturbing and the book is even worse. The Naked Lunch. Do not Google that book.
Oh, the weird druggy one.
Yeah, the William S. Burroughs one, I think it is.
Yeah. But no, while you're saying that, I think I have found, like, if Hollywood has any sense, this is going to be the next hit series.
What's that?
The TV adaptation of Zorro. The Gay Blade.
Yes, yes, yes.
Featuring Zorro and his twin brother, Bunny Wigglesworth.
Have you seen it now?
I still haven't seen the actual film.
Oh, you must watch the film. The film's amazing. I could not believe it was George Hamilton playing that role. Since we're going down that route, also...
No. George Hamilton in a Golden Globe-nominated dual role.
Yes, as a Randy Spaniard. And
his twin brother, Bunny Wigglesworth.
Yes, I know. I just love it when he turns up. I never really rated George Hamilton as an actor until I watched Zorro the Gay Blade. I was like, wow, he's actually got a lot more talent than people give him credit for.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's an old movie with a cast of peasants, and it's one of those movies that it kind of epitomizes so bad it becomes really, really entertaining. But yeah, another one that actually might have made an interesting TV series was Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh my God, I got that on DVD from a birthday.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
Oh yeah, I've seen it like for the second time now, because my God, I love that film.
Wouldn't it just make the perfect TV series?
It would, because like, you could have a whole series of like them sending up different horror movie tropes.
Exactly, and imagine if it was actual, you know, if they were actually facing evil, but didn't actually realise they were facing evil. So they were a bit like Ash, and then actually met Ash.
We should probably just like quickly explain, because it's quite an obscure film.
Yes.
Like, Andy, have you seen this?
Nope.
It's great. It's basically about a bunch of teens. And they go off into the woods on like a getting drunk night out type thing. But they run into two mysterious hillbillies on the way there. And like they think, oh God, they're like serial killers. And they're just these two dumb, really sweet guys. Okay, so the teens, they all think, like, Tucker and Dale are evil. And, like, end up killing themselves by accident.
It truly is by accident as well.
One of them, like, grabs a spear and tries to stab Dale, only to trip and fall in a wood chipper.
This sounds really, really messy. Messed up.
It is a black comedy of the best kind, because it's hilarious black comedy rather than just kind of, you know, make you wince and smile.
It also has the line, "Well, howdy, officer, we've had a doozy of a day."
Yes. Tucker and Dale versus Evil could be an amazing TV series.
It is. But yeah, it definitely has a lot of potential to be like Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Andy, I believe you have some news for us.
Yes, this is BBC's new and successful attempt at a TV series. When I say BBC Four to you, what comes to your mind?
Music documentaries.
Scandinavian crime drama.
It's more exciting than that.
Really?
More exciting
Scandinavian crime drama.
Think about, you're getting on a bus, envision this into your head, and you're going very slowly through the countryside for 2 hours.
Is this Country Show Cook-Off?
No, but that sounds quite fun. This is the show. It was called All Aboard the Country Bus, and it's 2 hours of the number 830 route along a 40-mile route along the picturesque national park.
Sorry, what?
It's a 2-hour bus journey on your TV.
Why?
I think I saw evidence of this. Is it like, it's literally just a camera at the front of a bus, and you see the route it's going on.
Again, why?
Yeah, but it is in a coup for BBC Four, more people tuned into the niche digital channel during the period from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So this was on a night, then watched Channel 5, which earned a documentary about Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun.
Yeah, but everyone's bored of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun.
It had nearly 1 million viewers.
Why?
Just wait for the second episode, where it'll probably be like round a busy town centre or something.
Oh, look, it stopped. There's sheep. There's something interesting going on. A sheep crossing the road.
Wait, oh, they're saving that for the series finale.
Yeah, but he's a better stat as well.
Oh.
Right. 1 in 20 of the audience was Britain's over 65s. So that means 19 out of 20 were under 65.
Why? Do you not have anything better to do? Like gardening.
My mind is actually boggled.
Now you're thinking, though, loads of people enjoyed this. Let's go to BBC iPlayer or whatever it's... Yeah, it'll be iPlayer, won't it? And catch up.
Okay.
Catch up for free.
I'm not actually thinking about that at all, I'll be honest. So, I'm curious, why are you bringing this up now, though?
Why am I bringing it up?
Yes.
Well, I've heard people actually... I spoke to people that have actually watched it, and they've said it was actually really good because it was so different.
Okay, different can sometimes be good, but why is it...
But it's not different.
My question is...
Are a normal person have the same thing?
I mean, you could just pay, like, a couple of quid and get, like, the X1 to Durham or something like that. I don't know. Mm. Or a National Express bus, and then, you know, you'd have the enjoyment of actually moving as well. But my question is, why is this in the news now?
Because it got nearly 1 million views for a bus journey. It stands out quite a bit because of BBC One's less programming.
Less programming?
Less watched programming.
Okay. So, do BBC have plans for this? Are they making a series out of it or something?
Well, they plan to make more, in quotes, slow TV. But they're looking at, for example, Marfor. I know it's a different company, but they did one called Great Canal Journeys.
Yeah, but Great Canal Journeys actually had someone talking and explaining things.
Well, they could also, like, add a tour guide or something. Look out of your right window. God. And you'll see so-and-so.
Andrew.
And then...
Which is me standing by the side of the road, kind of giving a little wave.
Yes.
I'd watch that.
And then he's the best bit, though. He's the best bit. If they ever do this virtual reality TV thing, you could actually sit on a bus.
Why?
That is the future.
The future is sat on a bus in virtual reality instead of sat on a bus
in reality.
But what happens when eventually, like, you need to go down to the shops or something and your brain just can't handle the real bus? It's too real, man.
It's too real, yes. I'm curious as to what BBC define as slow programming, because my God, EastEnders has just dragged on for far too long.
Well, the comment on the bottom says, anything's better than these reality shows.
Yes, anything is better than these reality shows. But this is still a reality show.
So this could turn into a yearly thing, you know, a yearly trip around so-and-so.
There's a charity thing that's done in the video games community for a charity called Child's Play. And every year they do this challenge, which is basically Desert Bus for Hope. And they play this game. It's one of the worst games ever made called Desert Bus.
Penn & Teller's Desert Bus.
I did not realise it was a Penn & Teller thing. I thought it was older than that.
Yeah, I've just saw the screenshot there.
Yeah. This TV show...
The most exciting game of all time.
Yeah. This TV show sounds like the television version of Desert Bus. And I hate Desert Bus.
Of course you hate Desert. It's where, like, you have to go on a 30-hour bus ride through the desert in real time.
Yes.
And your price for completing it is to turn around and do it in the opposite direction.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, yeah, if that's what they consider slow programming, I can think of Hell, Doctors, that's on BBC One. That's really slow. I'm still waiting for something exciting to happen in that.
It's kind of exciting.
Really?
It's like experiencing time travel, where you look across after an hour and it's only been 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, there is that. I mean, it's just, you know, you got Holby City and Casualty and stuff like that. You're like, oh, there's so much going on here. And then you got Doctors, which is in a GP surgery. And you're like, really? This is worse than actually being in the waiting room to see a doctor.
I think that should be the new spin-off of Doctors.
What, waiting room?
Yes, Doctors, waiting room. Well, it's just like one old lady flicking through a magazine as really dramatic music plays.
Wasn't there a theory that Doctors, Holby City and Casualty are all in the same universe, and I think Holby City and Casualty might actually be the same hospital?
Yeah, well, they are. They frequently cross over.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, the whole point is that Holby City and Casualty are like one hospital.
Ah. Okay, well, I think we can leave...
Casualty, see, is the emergency services bit of it.
But if they're going to do that, they could literally take over BBC with just everything based on one hospital. So they could have, like, the, you know, receptionists, hospital receptionists as a show.
Mm.
They could have, you know, hospital porters as a show, nurses as a show, since they've already got doctors. And then you can have the crossover of doctors and nurses.
Human resources, the show.
Yes.
Psychiatrist.
Parking attendant, the show.
The weird holistic medicine guy who stands outside in the parking lot, the show.
Yeah. People smoking cigarettes near the hospital entrance, the show.
Porter, the show.
Yeah, porters. Hospital porters.
You know,
yeah.
Porters, there's one for you.
Yeah, hospital porters. And ambulance drivers, the show. And then we've pretty much got the entirety of the hospital.
Crossover.
Oh.
Where it's all aboard. Ambulance special.
Yeah.
It's just like a camera in the front of an ambulance.
Oh, I've just came up with the best one. Hospital radio with a budget Alan Partridge.
I was going to say Alan Partridge.
No, you can't get Alan Partridge. It has to be budget Alan Partridge. Because remember, with all the NHS cuts, they can't afford Alan Partridge.
Well, with his famous catchphrase, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, but nobody can afford Alan Partridge.
I'll have you know, I have 5 pence. Okay, shall we move on to the last story?
We shall.
Yes.
Right, we're sticking with the BBC for this one, because the bosses of the hit BBC drama series Poldark, which is based on the book of the same name, they're in a bit of trouble with the actor who plays the lead role, Aidan Turner, because he's not happy with them. Because apparently they've been introducing plot lines into the TV series which aren't in the book, and these plot lines are all designed to do one thing, to make Aidan Turner take his top off.
It's terrible, this objectification of men, isn't it?
Yes it is.
When will they see we're more than just slices of meat?
I don't know. I blame all the middle-aged women who suddenly just saw Aidan Turner in that swimming scene, which is the only reason, as you said before, Andrew, that anyone watches Poldark.
Yeah, literally, like, it has a legion of middle-aged lady fans who watch it for that one scene.
Yeah.
Where he's got his shirt off.
And they keep watching in the hope that he'll take his shirt off again. So the bosses...
And then the nice lady can come paint his abs or something.
Yeah. So BBC bosses have decided... Poldark bosses have decided to give the audience what they want.
See, I can't wait till episode one, but like, there's a massive fire at Poldark Manor that conveniently only burns his shirt wardrobe.
No, he has to take his shirt off to try and put the fire out. You know, he's hitting the fire with his shirt.
And obviously, you know, because he's quite close to the fire, it's really warm, he's getting a bit sweaty.
Yep.
This is very disturbing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't put too much thought into Aidan Turner's glistening abs.
Ah, right. And on that note, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a bit.
Hello. Do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week, and do it reasonably well.
And welcome back to On The Box, the show that makes me have Poldark sexy in my search history. Now we're talking about what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Do you want to go first then, Andrew? Andy?
Yes. And you will always get in those computers, aren't you, Rob?
Yes, I am. Because you keep gagging up on me like today.
Actually the same person.
Anyway, I've been watching Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit.
Dara O'Brien went 8-Bit?
He went 8-Bit. This is a show that actually doesn't air officially until Monday, but it's available on UK TV on demand about 5 days early.
Okay.
So I gave it a watch. And basically, it's a panel show where there's two teams of two, and Dara O'Brien hosts it. Well, there's also a gaming expert type person in the corner. And they play about 3 or 4 rounds on different video games and the voted video games by the cast of the show. And this week, they were head-to-head on Tekken, Chucky Egg, Star Wars Battlefront, and Buster Move.
But, okay, if you're going 8-bit, then the only one that is 8-bit in there is Chucky Egg.
I know. But it was really good seeing how they play, different games each week. And it really went together. And it was seeing that gap on the market. So I watched it, and it was brilliant.
So, hang on. Is this on BBC or ITV or Channel 4 or something?
It's on Dave.
It's on Dave. So
yeah,
Dave,
that channel that's growing and growing every year.
So Dave basically paid Dara O'Brien a lot of money to do a TV show filled with Let's Play videos.
Video games?
Let's Play video games. Let's Play videos, you know, the YouTube Let's Play videos. They basically paid him money to do that. Why didn't they pay me money to do that? I could do that.
It's a versus thing where... if a team wins, to get points.
So it's a competition.
So they had like a full round of Tekken and a full round of Chucky Egg.
Okay.
And it was really good, and it's good to see the old games again as well. Star Wars Battlefront was, but yeah.
Okay.
I really do recommend it. If you don't watch it on the on-demand, watch it, I think, Monday on Dave. I think it's 10 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock.
So, I'm sorry, but I'm just running that line through my head, and I'm going to say it out loud because I want to know what you guys think.
Yeah.
So I should watch Dara O'Brien going 8-bit on Dave.
Yeah, but...
That would just sound quite dirty.
Can I say, though, the guests... one of the guests that was on this week was England former goalkeeper David James.
Okay.
So it wasn't... But the list of guests include Bob Mortimer.
Yeah.
Russell Howard, Rachel Riley, the David James, Jason Manford, Dave Gorman, Marcus Brigstock, Gina Yashir,
Ed Byrne,
Rosie Long and Holly Walsh.
Dara O'Brien went 8-bit with Rachel Riley on Dave.
Not yet.
Because you know in those porn movies when they put the mosaic over things?
Get your mind out the gutter, Rob.
You're ruining my fan fiction.
Well, I think that's what the video game expert in the corner is doing.
Yes. So, yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Yep, the gaming expert, by the way, is Eurogamer alumni Ellie Gibson.
All right, okay. So they've got somebody who actually knows video games then.
It's a really good watch. If you like your games, you'll probably love it because it's just two teams facing each other in random games every week.
Two teams out for blood. One of them is going down.
And with a guest list like that, it's going to be hilarious when Jason Manford and Russell Howard are on. Dave Gorman as well.
Well, not so much Jason Manford.
Sounds like a
Manford.
Lot of kind of the Dave regulars.
Yeah.
But you have to think, though, right? There's a round where each guest member on each team chooses the game that they want to play, their favourite game. So what do you think Jason Manford or Dave Gorman's would be?
I don't know.
Like, David James's was Tekken.
Okay.
But... Jason Manford type, like, strikes me as a FIFA kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Kind of that quite... He tries to be free, but he's a bit bland and dull underneath.
he probably would be FIFA or something.
Hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll recommend it.
Okay. Do you want to go next, or do you want me to?
You can go next.
Okay, so...
I'm feeling generous.
Okay, so, me up next, then. I have been watching Supermansion.
Supermansion?
Yeah, I've been watching Supermansion, which is... it premiered on Crackle last year, and I've managed to find a way to watch it. And it's an American stop-motion animated comedy series. It's a parody of superheroes. So, obviously, I was interested when I first found out about it.
I assumed it was going to be another one of your kind of grand design-y type things.
No, this one is, right, just to give you an idea of what it is, right? Supermansion is basically about an aging superhero called Titanium Rex, who's played by Bryan Cranston. And it's about him and his has-been team of superheroes, who are known as the League of Freedom, and about how they struggle to stay relevant in a changing world. But when you look at the cast that they've got, and when you look at the characters, that's what makes it. Because you have Bryan Cranston as Titanium Rex, and he's the Superman kind of character in this. You know, he's been active since his late 30s, but now he's like really old. And there's just so many old man jokes that they throw in, but the superpowered versions of it. And Bryan Cranston plays it amazingly well. Then they've got Tucker Gilmore, who's playing a character called Black Satin, who is a black and purple clad vigilante. See if you can guess who he's reminiscent of.
Is it Flying Fox Man?
No. He's got a wide variety of gadgets and a large ring-shaped boomerang that are his usual weapons of choice. He's got wealthy parents who are still alive, though, and they don't like him because they think he behaves like a kid all the time, and that he's overdependent. He refuses to get a job.
Ah, it's Banana Man.
Yeah, and he throws tantrums when things don't go his way, or he doesn't get his way. Then you got American Ranger, who is he's basically like the Captain America character who, you know, he was placed in a time tunnel after serving in World War II and reappeared 70 years later. He rejoined the League of Freedom after being defrosted by a garbage man. Yeah. And Ranger hasn't aged a day due to his preservation, but he believes things that were relevant during his time are still relevant today, such as Nazi Germany, you know, and the Japanese attacking America.
Is it Grandpa Captain America here again to embarrass us all in front of the family?
Yep. You've got Robobot, but that's not his name in the show. He was originally called Robobot, but he renamed himself when he found out that his creator was Jewish and he befriended a rabbi who gave him a hat. He's now called Jewbot.
I'm slightly disappointed.
Yep. Then you got
I was expecting like Rabot.
Yeah, I thought Rabot was a better one as well. Then you got Brad, who's their Hulk character, who has his strength and large stature because of a pink super serum and because he has a massive addiction to cocaine and heroin. You got an anthropomorphic female cat with a southern accent who's crude, filthy, promiscuous, and very distractible because she's a cat, and her name is Cooch.
That's a name.
Yeah. Then you got Lex Lightning, who is Titanium Rex's daughter, who's the Supergirl character, and you got one of the main bad guys in this, who is a clown with an afro and a skull for a head called the Groner, or Groner.
Oh, he's like the Joker then.
Yeah. And then you've got Seth Green, who plays Adolf Hitler in 7 episodes.
As you do.
Yes, as you do. It's one of those weird shows that I don't know why, but it kind of got me. There's funny moments, but there's moments where you just sit there and go, are you really allowed to do that? But then you remember that Family Guy and South Park are things, so yes, they are, because it's stop motion animation.
Yeah, there is no line anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I don't think the comedy in there, in Super Mansion, is quite there yet. It's got some really funny moments. Don't get me wrong, but it's also got some moments when it's just kind of, yeah, somebody scrubbed out the line, didn't they? So you didn't know where it was. That must be the reason why you've included this. But the stop motion animation is really good. The characters are actually pretty good, pretty well thought out. It's just the way it's all put together is, I think it's more of an acquired taste. I think Andy would love it.
It sounds very different.
It is very different.
If it's offensively funny, it's usually very funny and a very recommended watch. So,
I think it's one that you'd really enjoy, Andy.
I'll have to give it a watch.
I've managed the first season and I'm just kind of, yeah, okay, do I want to watch the second season?
I like that. You've managed it like it was some sort of ordeal.
The thing is, it has a lot of potential, right? Super Mansion's one of those shows that has a lot of potential. It could really have pushed the board out if they'd decided to do a proper parody and not gone for kind of the shock comedy type thing. Hmm. You know, but they've decided to go too far down the path that's been trod by South Park and Family Guy and American Dad and the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
And because it's decided to go down that route, it's because South Park has kind of gone full circle on itself, you know, and it's become a lot more satirical recently in its approach to certain things. Okay, it's still quite kind of shock. There's still a lot of shock comedy in South Park, but it has
a
point.
There's a lot of stuff making fun of itself for using the shock comedy.
Yeah, but this is kind of the shock comedy without, and in a lot of cases, it doesn't actually need to be there. So, yeah, Super Mansion. Interesting, but I think it's an acquired taste. I think if you like South Park and Family Guy and American Dad, you'll like this. But if you don't, then you're not going to.
And I guess, to be fair, plenty of people do like those shows.
Yeah. The thing is, this series is funniest when it's focusing on Bryan Cranston, Titanium Rex, being an old superhero and the problems of being an old superhero, for example, you know, his knees have gone, he's got kidney stones, various things like that. He has trouble going to the toilet, you know, all the typical kind of old man problems. And that's what makes it funny. The rest of it's just kind of, you know?
Yeah, it sounds really good, to be honest. Sounds different, and I'd have to definitely give this a watch.
Well, I know that Titan Comics is looking to turn it into a comic book series, so we may be seeing Super Mansion as a comic book series at some point.
Oh boy, then we'll get to cover on four panel as well.
Yes.
I might leave that one for you, Rob.
You never know. It might actually turn out to be a lot more entertaining as a comic than it is as a TV show.
Hey, I mean, you certainly haven't sold me on it today.
I wasn't trying to. I was trying to be honest about it. I mean, when I first started watching it, I thought, it's a comedy about aging superheroes trying to stay relevant. You know, this sounds like it could be really good. And I watched the first episode, which wasn't bad. I thought, okay, you know, it's... maybe it'll improve in the second episode, but then the episodes kept going on and on and on, and I just started getting more and more. I just started getting sadder as I watched it, because it had some bits where it did make me laugh. It made me honestly laugh, but they started becoming too few and far between. Even though it has some characters who have, you know, whatever problems they have, even though it had them, it just didn't use them in any real kind of way other than shock comedy. Because, I mean, you know American Dad? Take Roger, for example, from American Dad, right? Every so often, Roger has some insights that really help, you know, one of the members of the family get over a particular problem. But this is kind of lacking in that area, and I think it needs something like that to balance it out.
Right. Okay, then.
Yes. So over to you, Andrew.
Yes, over to me. So I've been watching The Thing, which is kind of the very in thing at the moment. It's Stranger Things on Netflix.
I've heard really good things about this.
Yeah. So it's set in the 1980s in the town of Hawkins in Indiana.
Yeah.
The plot is about a 12-year-old boy who vanishes mysteriously one night.
Yeah.
And his friends try to look for him. But while they're looking for him, they find a mysterious young girl whose name is Eleven.
Okay.
And who has psychic powers.
All right.
So they kind of get wrapped up along with the boy's mother, the kind of renegade sheriff type who is a necessity for all these kind of stories, and the main boy, Mike, his older sister. They all get kind of drawn into this big conspiracy, like alien beings from alternate worlds and shady government organizations.
Okay.
It's basically, it's very heavily based on like a whole bunch of films from the 1980s.
From the 1980s?
So you've got a lot of very John Carpenter-esque things. You've got quite a lot of E.T. in there as well. Like Eleven, she's very similar to E.T. and like she doesn't really understand how modern society works because she's grown up kind of in a facility.
See, this sounds really interesting, and it's also got me thinking. I don't know if this is an actual supposition that anyone else, that other people have come up with, but I'd be surprised if they haven't. Do you remember The X-Files?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember the reason why Mulder joins The X-Files?
God, no.
No.
Was to find...
No one remembers what The X-Files was originally about.
No, the reason why Mulder joined The X-Files, joined the FBI and The X-Files in particular, was to try and find clues about what happened to his sister when they were kids.
I mean, I think that response says a resounding amount about how much people care about The X-Files now.
I
which
know.
Is not at all.
No, I'm just saying because...
Yeah, had you shot X-Files, you're done. No, get off the bed.
All I'm saying is, it wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility, based on what you've said right now, for this Eleven to be Mulder's sister.
Well, except, no, we're not crossing over with The X-Files yet. We're not, Rob.
Okay.
The X-Files was stupid and dumb, and I hate it, and everyone talks about how great it was, but it wasn't, Rob. It wasn't.
I never said it was great.
The X-Files sucked, everyone.
The X-Files had, like, the one episode that everyone remembers, which I think was called Tombs or whatever it was. You know, the one with the guy living under the escalator who could slip through ventilator shafts and stuff like that? and ate people's livers.
Yeah, see, that was creepy.
Yeah, that's the only episode.
But Dexter's had some like decent ones early on before it got all massively convoluted.
Yeah, that's the episode that everyone remembers from The X-Files. But most of The X-Files was not worth watching.
Especially the new series.
Yeah.
But anyway, what is worth watching is Stranger Things, taking the ball back.
Okay.
So it's really interesting how, just like, what a breadth of kind of 80s films it manages to cover.
Okay.
Like I said, you've got a lot of kind of horror and sci-fi, Stephen King type stuff.
Yeah.
But then you've also got quite a bit of sort of teen romance, sort of Breakfast Club-esque things as well.
Really?
Yeah, because you've got a lot of kind of, you know, teen high school love triangles with Mike's sister Nancy and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the show does a really good job of juggling all these separate elements.
Hmm.
And also, the thing I really like, it's something that was brought back from the 80s, is the idea of having a plot about kids with actual kids playing the kids.
Yes.
Because, like, the girl who plays 11, Millie Bobby Brown, she's 12 years old.
What was her name?
Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay.
And, like, she is really good. So I think if you can find good child actors, that can elevate what you're doing to a whole nother level.
Yeah, yes it can.
There's something massively unsettling about watching actual children have to deal with these big, scary things, like creepy alien monsters and government agents trying to like, chase them down in vans.
Sounds a bit like Super 8. Super 8, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's very much in that same vein of kind of 80s nostalgia, only perhaps with a bit less of the Spielberg senpai notice me, please.
Yeah. This sounds really good. I think I'm going to have to watch this.
It's really good. But if I'm being honest, I think I didn't really like it as much as other people have.
Has everyone been going crazy about it?
It is a show. Yeah, everyone's got like absolutely mental for it. But it is a show that relies quite heavily on 80s nostalgia.
Is it too much clogged in together?
No, it's too much. It's just, because I mean, I didn't really grow up on 80s films or anything like that. And a lot of the stuff that I've seen, like, you know, all the John Carpenter films, an Alien, I was going to say The Thing, but The Thing is a John Carpenter film. All that kind of stuff I've come to later in life.
So
while I enjoy them, and like I can look at Stranger Things and go, oh, you're doing The Thing now. It's like that thing from that other film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really get that surge of nostalgia.
Me who grew up in the 80s would probably enjoy it a lot more, find it a lot more approachable, say.
Yeah, I think so, because like, you can see them recreating something. Like they've got a bit where it's kind of the kids walking down a train track, like in, is it Stand By Me?
Yeah.
And like, I can watch that and I can go, oh yeah, that's like that bit from Stand By Me. But I think if you've grown up in the 80s, you'll be more impressed. And be, oh yeah, that's just like my childhood all over again.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean.
And I think without that emotion, it's just pretty good.
Yeah, it's weird how this whole nostalgia thing works, because far too many people jump on this whole 80s, 90s nostalgia bandwagon, or 70s nostalgia bandwagon, and you look at them and you go, you weren't even born then. How do you know what it's like? Remember the Goldbergs? Meet the Goldbergs?
Yeah. It's pretty much that exact same thing that you said. It's because I think you made the same point when we talked about the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people jumping on an 80s nostalgia train.
And I had to point out, the Goldbergs might be 80s nostalgia, but it's 80s nostalgia for America, not for the UK.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can understand it more with something like this, because it's not so much based on life in the 80s as it is films and culture from the 80s, which is like a lot of that carried over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I am sceptical that some people aren't just jumping on the bandwagon because it's a bandwagon.
Well, that's what people generally do. I mean, look at all the shows. They did a UK survey, actually, recently, and they found that there are more people who claim to have watched Breaking Bad in the UK than who have actually watched Breaking Bad in the UK. Seriously.
And I think I never jumped on that bandwagon.
Well, it's the same with Game of Thrones and House of Cards and all these other really popular shows. I mean, there's loads of people I know who say, oh yeah, Mad Men's an amazing TV series. Like, do you know what it's about? Have you watched it?
I've watched Mad Men. I really like the bit when the advertising man has to stop Ben Affleck from robbing a bank. That's my favourite episode. It was a really long episode, though.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And then Breaking Bad, everyone remembers the bit where he runs out of the RV in his underpants, right? This is kind of like that. It sounds like there's a lot of people who know of Stranger Things and know it's popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's wanting to be part of the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like, to be honest, that's actually impacted my enjoyment of the series a bit.
Really?
I'll sit there and I'll watch it. And I know that I'm not enjoying it as much as all these, like, crazy hyper fans are, and then like it almost makes me feel a bit bad for watching it. Just like, this isn't a show for me.
Okay.
But see, I think the problem is because there's such a large and vocal fan base online. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing or anything.
Yeah.
But when you perhaps don't enjoy a show as much as those people are, it really heightens the feeling that you are not the show's target audience.
I see.
And I think that can hamper enjoyment of the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you've always got that going on in the back of your mind, and it kind of stops you from fully getting into the action.
I'll be honest, that's kind of what happened with me in Game of Thrones. I watched the first few seasons of Game of Thrones, and then I stopped because everyone was talking about Game of Thrones, and that's all anyone was talking about. I just thought, I can't be bothered.
Considering I watched it because Rob told me to watch it, it's
ironic.
Yeah. Actually, do you know what I think a good sort of metaphor for this is?
What?
Online role-playing games.
Oh?
It's like when you fire up like World of Warcraft or something, and you're level one.
Yeah.
And you see someone who's like level 1,000 stroll past, and you just think to yourself, I'm never going to be that good. And, like, you see that, like, everyone else is, like, hundreds and hundreds of levels above you.
Yeah.
And you kind of just think, can I really be faffed with this?
That's a good comparison.
It's a good comparison. It's just a shame that it doesn't quite apply to me. I'm one of those oddballs who, whenever I play an MMO, I don't bother looking at other people's levels. I just go, right, what can I do in this? And then I just go off and do my own thing.
Okay, yeah, maybe it doesn't apply, but it is.
But for in general, I can understand.
I think that example illustrates what I mean by that way of thinking.
Yeah, no, I understand. I know loads of people who have thought exactly that when they've played games like EVE or World of Warcraft or even Final Fantasy XIV or something like that. You know, they just looked at the levels of other players and go, I'm never going to reach that. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, and like, I'm certainly not saying it's everyone else's fault for being that level.
Yeah.
It's just probably makes it not for me.
Okay, right. I think that's us done for the day then, isn't it?
I think it might be.
Yes, yes. I think so.
So we're going to love you and leave you, and we'll be back very soon with another exciting episode. But for now, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
And we'll see you all next week.
Thanks for listening.